Now, hundreds of primary care staff are being abused across Northern Ireland every year. Last year, in pharmacies alone, there were over 600 crimes reported to police, including a number of assaults. We've even had examples in the recent past of pharmacists being stabbed. Let me speak to Joe Brogan. Joe is the head of pharmacy and medicines management for the Health and Social Care Board. Joe, good morning.
Morning, Brian.
Zero tolerance, that's the term from this morning. It's the term generally. Zero tolerance, you're simply not going to accept any abuse whatsoever.
That's right, Frank. Community pharmacies, GP practices, dental practices and optometry practices, they all constitute the primary healthcare providers in Northern Ireland. And 90% of all healthcare is delivered by these providers. And we've heard in the past about attacks within emergency departments on ambulance staff. We haven't necessarily shone a spotlight on attacks on primary healthcare providers. Your statistics are very telling. We know that once per week there is a violent patient attacking members of staff in a general practice setting. Similarly, these kinds of incidents are happening on a weekly basis within community pharmacy. You mentioned the number of lower-level crimes within community pharmacy, such as shoplifting. We know that there will be at least two instances of shoplifting in a community pharmacy today and every day. And what we've done with the police is assessed the readiness that community pharmacies in particular have in terms of their premises and staff. We've provided some training, provided advice to community pharmacies. Now we're going out to the public and saying, look, you know, these are valuable healthcare providers. They're part of your community. We need to preserve them. We need to support them. And any attack or any criminal intention or incident is simply not going to be tolerated.
Joe, I'll just bring you a little closer to your phone if you can. I didn't want to interrupt anything that you were saying. If you can come just a little bit closer to the phone. Isn't the most wonderful of lines that we have this morning. The people who are going in and who are causing problems, first of all, to the pharmacists, is it a standard sort of person? Is it a person who may have some challenges? Or is it coming really from unexpected quarters?
I guess it's a mixture of a number of things, Frank. Yes, there will be individuals who may have addictive issues or intoxicated. There are, of course, individuals, and this is where our primary health care providers are reaching out to them, people with mental health issues, and we will try to support them and manage them. But ultimately, if there is behaviour that is unacceptable, if staff are going to be threatened, or if staff are going to be violently abused, either physically or verbally, then we have to say, look, enough's enough. We cannot tolerate that. And indeed, we will seek police intervention to support our healthcare staff.
And have the incidents gone up since more and more people have become addicted to prescribed drugs?
Very difficult to say, Frank. All we can go with is the police statistics, and that's open to how many reports are recorded, whether reports are actually reported. So very difficult to look at trends. We do see anecdotally that there have been a number of attacks. In the recent past, you mentioned a number of knife attacks. They are fairly infrequent, but we have seen them on more than a few occasions in the past year, and that is exceptionally worrying.
And how concerned are people about burglaries?
Burglaries are very, very concerning. Now, of course, community pharmacies are generally exceptionally well secure because they have controlled drugs in community pharmacies, so they will have very good security to try and prevent those kinds of attacks. But then if there are individuals who have the know-how, they will seek to try to obviate those security measures.
We've heard examples of nurses being attacked, of the paramedics on the ambulances being attacked, your staff being, even dentists being in the firing line. What needs to be done? Do we need stiffer sentencing? Do we need more education in schools? Do we need community groups to be reminding just people how to be civil when they're dealing with those who would be providing a service? Or are some people beyond redemption?
I think all of those things, Frank, will probably contribute. Part of today is just putting out that message that there is a zero tolerance to this kind of behaviour within primary care settings across community pharmacies and GPs, optometrists and dental practices. Individuals who are accessing those services should absolutely seek help from those service providers, but please do not be abusive, please do not threaten, and certainly please do not attack these staff. They're there to help. In terms of the sentencing, that is beyond necessarily my remit. I know the courts are applying full rigour of the sentencing that they can to individuals who do break the law. In terms of community groups and society in itself, I think there are wider societal issues going on. You've already mentioned the issues of drug abuse, etc. Certainly, those kinds of addictive issues do bring out the worst in individuals. So certainly there are wider societal issues which need to be addressed. I think today we just want to make sure the wider community know these are really important healthcare providers. We need to look after them. If individuals come in and start threatening or starting to be violent, they will be dealt with.
So your message to everyone from the person doing your eye test through to the frontline guy on the ambulance who's leading a paramedic team into a danger zone, your message to all of them, regardless of how they are attacked or how they're threatened, is to report it.
Absolutely. And I think that healthcare providers generally are trying to treat individuals sympathetically. However, what we've now reached the point we have engaged with the police and they are supportive of us, linking them with them where there is an incident, where there's an issue. We'll call the police out and they will deal with an issue if there is evidence of criminality.
Okay, Joe, thanks for speaking to us this morning. Joe Brogan, the head of pharmacy and medicines management with the Health and Social Care Board, getting the message clearly across there that people are sick, sore and tired of being threatened, those who are providing a frontline service in terms of health. Do you work in that sphere? Have you witnessed it? Have you been a victim indeed? 90333105, 90333105. And have you ever actually lost the head, threatened someone in those circumstances, be it the person doing the eye test, the dental nurse, the dental surgeon, the doctor? You know, have you actually threatened someone like a person who's driving an ambulance? The paramedic's out doing his or her very best to help you. And have you regretted it afterwards? Would you like to tell us your story as to why on earth it crossed your mind to be threatening in any way towards someone who's actually helping to save your life? Good morning to you. 90333105.
The Frank Mitchell phone-in on U105. Listening to you.
I want to speak to Mickey Joe Cooper, who's available to have a conversation with us. Mickey Joe, good morning.
Good morning, Frank. How are you?
I'm very well. Mickey Joe, you are working in the pharmaceutical world, you're working in a pharmacy, and you were caught up in a robbery and assault last year.
Yes, we were, unfortunately, Frank, yes, in August of last year.
Just remind us what happened.
Well, basically, Frank, it was the end of a busy working day, and an armed robber entered our premises on the Andersonstown Road. He was armed with quite a large knife. And he approached one of our pharmacists and demanded a number of prescription drugs as well as cash.
And what sort of feeling was going through your mind or the mind of the staff when he was standing there? That must have been terrifying.
Well, honestly, Frank, it was a very traumatic experience for everybody involved. That's including all of our team, all of our staff, but also a number of patients and customers who were in the pharmacy at the time. I myself wasn't actually present at the beginning of the robbery. I was working in my office. I was then approached by one of the pharmacists. Fortunately, a number of our pharmacists were able to get away from the from the main scene of the action and make calls to the emergency services. So fortunately, in this instance, we had quite a rapid response from the emergency services, but it was a very traumatic experience involving a very aggressive and aggravated man.
And was the assailant, was he apprehended?
He was. As I mentioned earlier, I was in my office. At this stage, I came out then and spoke directly to the assailant. He had apprehended one of our pre-registration, one of our student pharmacists at this stage. So as the manager of the shop, the pharmacy, I told the assailant that he would have to deal with me. Luckily,
so he had taken a hostage?
Well, he had one of our pre-registration pharmacists prostrated against one of the cash machines, one of the tills, they emptied the till. At this stage, he had already received a number of medications that he demanded from the pharmacists. He was looking for medications such as diazepam, temazepam, and tramadol. So he had already received these, because it is in our procedures, obviously, that we don't necessarily want to keep the assailant in our premises any longer than is possible. At this stage, however, when I approached him, he had become quite aggressive. And then he took a swipe at me and stabbed me with his knife.
At that point, had the police shown any sign of getting to the premises, or was time still ticking past?
To give the police credit, probably from the time that the initial phone call was made to them arriving was probably about 2 minutes. But as you can imagine, a lot can happen in a 2 minute period.
In fairness to the police, and, you know, some people might think Andersonstown police reaction time, that is particularly prompt, isn't it?
Yeah, it was fantastic, and it's a testament to our staff and our team and their reactions as well. And we would have had a team of maybe 12 or 13 members of staff at that stage. It's quite a busy pharmacy. There's multiple phone outlets. So our staff had made possibly, I think it was 3 phone calls from separate locations to the police at that stage. So luckily as well, we had quite a number of male pharmacists on duty, so whenever the attack on myself occurred, we were quite fortunate in that quite a few of the male pharmacists weighed in. So by the time that the police had actually arrived, we had been able to disarm the assailant.
The condition of the person who was attacking you, was this someone who was addicted, someone who was out of his mind, someone who was a threat generally to society, or simply a person who wanted to visit evil upon you?
That's a difficult question, Frank, and it's one that we've discussed at length with our partners in the pharmaceutical world and also with the police and the security services. From having conversations with this gentleman, he was quite lucid. He was very aware of his surroundings, and he knew exactly what he wanted.
And your staff obviously had to cope with that experience. The next day, I'm sure it was difficult going to work. I'm sure for some of them, it's been a challenge or certainly something of a minor trauma if someone bursts in through the door for whatever reason and they have to spin round on the heel of their shoe. It must be slightly worrying.
Like, of course, Frank. You would imagine it's a basic human right that you can visit your place of work and carry out your day's work, without the possibility of or threat of being under attack. But unfortunately, in the community pharmacy network at the minute, that's something that our staff and our teams are unable to have.
And how common is it for, obviously people are not getting stabbed every day, but to be threatened with robbery or indeed to be abused where people might suggest that they're going to take some untoward step?
I wouldn't have the exact statistics in front of me, Frank, but I would say that it's quite often. And actually, subsequent to our own experiences, there was a similar incident that happened in McDonald's Pharmacy on the Falls Road earlier on this year, in which Paul McDonough and his second pharmacist, Peter Wright, both sustained stab wounds in that particular attack.
It is very, very concerning. And are you more and more worried about this addiction to prescribed drugs?
I am, Frank. It is a huge issue, and something that needs to be looked at by all sectors of the community and how we're going to target this.
Whenever we visit the pharmacy, we get a sense of it's a very friendly environment. People always seem to be smiling. They're in white coats, and it's welcoming. It's like almost a corner shop experience, but behind the counter are some very important items which mean so much to a person, especially someone who may be addicted. Do you feel yourself that maybe you need more security around pharmacies? Is that a growing reality?
It's certainly, we have explored our options, Frank. Now, in our, I don't know if you've been in our particular pharmacy before, but it is quite an open environment. We had a refit of our premises about 2 years ago, where we moved to a forward-facing dispensing model, so that our pharmacists and our team could engage directly with patients, because pharmacy is no longer just, you know, to paraphrase yourself, the corner shop that possibly it used to be. You know, patients are able to access a lot of pharmacies or a lot of services within pharmacies these days, such as, you know, stop smoking clinics and medicines use reviews, the minor ailment service. So with that design in mind, we went to a more open design. But obviously subsequent to the attack, we've had to rethink our approach. We've installed panic buttons. Luckily, our CCTV system was bang up to date at the time, which helped in the prosecution of the character that came into our pharmacy that day. But it's very very tangible that all pharmacies review their security procedures at this point in time and make sure that they're as up to date and as relevant as they can be. Some people have spoke about, you know, guards, security guards, etc., constantly manning community pharmacies. But, you know, obviously there's an expense associated with this as well. But I think that it's something that everybody should possibly look into, because I think it's only a matter of time before something more tragic occurs in a pharmacy setting, or in any setting in the primary care healthcare setting as well, and that's the last thing that we want to avoid.
Yeah, so many people providing frontline services seem to be under threat in today's age, which is exceptionally sad to hear. Finally, Mickey Joe, what was the outcome in the court? What was the tariff that individual had to face, considering they had swung a knife, they had actually stabbed you, and they had threatened another member of staff as well as carrying out theft?
The individual in question, he received a custodial sentence, which was a result, involuntary manslaughter and also armed robbery. So he received a 2-year custodial sentence, which will act as a deterrent, I hope. But I personally believe that he should have received a far sterner sentence.
You feel that 2 years was not enough?
I don't think it was a significant enough message to send out as a deterrent. But again, I do believe it was a result, but it could have been a lot sterner.
Yeah, and I can well imagine if you were in that pharmacy that day when he came in with that knife and behaved as he did, that you would have expected the sentence to be stiffer than 2 years in prison, because literally people could have been killed.
I certainly would have hoped so.
Okay, Mickey Joe, thanks for, I know it's not easy revisiting it, but thank you very much for talking us through it. Thank you.
Not a problem, Frank. All the best.
That's it, Mickey Joe Cooper from Cooper's Pharmacy in West Belfast. A harrowing experience.